quick testimony in my life. There I am, a little pistol. I was called a little pistol. I think I was destined to be in the military. I'm a poor boy from Texas on a farm. We were so poor, I didn't realize pinto beans wasn't meat till I was 12 years old. We did a lot of beans. But, the greatest day of my life, the day as a 13-year-old boy, I went to Highland Lakes Baptist Youth Camp in Austin, Texas, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard my testimony this morning. I had a problem with sin, and you do too. None of us have kept the commandments. They're our schoolmaster. We are proven sinners, and there's a penalty for sin called hell in the lake of fire, and God's Spirit moved on my heart that day because I didn't want to go there. And you don't either. That's why God gave us the way of escape through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty. He is the greatest soldier that ever lived. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. And every day is Memorial Day. Every day is Resurrection Day. Every day is a great day to be saved. So if you're not saved tonight, if you don't know 100% sure, if you were to die this very minute, if your soul would be in heaven with our Lord, if you do not know that for sure, you come see me after the service. And we'll get that settled before you walk out of here, because the greatest day of your life is the day you get gloriously saved. Now, praise God, He, through His providence, God's providence is a great thing, by the way. By His providence, He called me to be in the Marines. There I am, loving what I do. I went in to be an infantry officer. I believe God moved on my life to close with and destroy the enemies of my God and my country. And that's what I was going to do as an infantry commander, but God had other plans. Have y'all ever been walking in a direction and God just put a door up and poof, and you had to do an about face? There's a reason for that. Did you know complaining is sin? Do you believe Romans 8:28? Then we'll never complain again. Because everything that happens to you in life, every circumstance in life, happens for a reason. God is trying to refine you. He'll test you before you get home, trust me. So God said, you're going down to be a pilot. So I'm down in flight school, and I was miserable. Have you ever been miserable? And the reason is us. Your three worst enemies in life? Me, myself, and I. Okay? So I'm miserable. The reason I'm miserable, because I was saved when I was 13. I'm 23, and I never found a church like your church to teach me and train me and disciple me. We are in a lifelong progressive sanctification phase. You and I should be getting closer to Christ-likeness every day in our life. And the only way to do that is to stay in the book and stay on our knees and serve others. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to leave here tonight realizing you can't get it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You've got to be in the book every day. God's got to speak to you every day. I made a vow 25 years ago to read my Bible through the rest of my life, every year for the rest of my life. It's done the greatest thing for me. It's the greatest spiritual decision I ever made other than salvation. So God speaks to me, and then I've got to speak to Him through prayer. Hey, I think we're a prayerless and a faithless society. Now, I don't know about your prayer life, but mine could improve. I'm 53 years old, be 54 in August. I'm learning how to pray. I'm learning that God wants to hear my heart more than He wants to hear my words. And every day in the ministry is a frontal attack, folks. And the sweetest thing anybody can tell my wife and I is that we're praying for you, because I'm telling you, we need it. If you're out there in the forefront, so I'm learning how to pray. I just stop and say, God, help me. Help me. Because we can't do it on our own, even though we try. So I'm down there flight training, miserable, a sailor, of all people, a sailor. And I like sailors. I shouldn't say that. I like my Army brethren better, but I shouldn't say that either. No, sailors are great, Brother Stone. Praise God for you. But I still like my Army brethren better, even though we were in the same church. I got on my first ship, Brother Stone. We're sailing on the USS Spartanburg County. We got into the Gulf Stream. All the Marines are out there. And that's our motivational call. We like that. You know, we're motivated. We like our mission. We're out there, soldiers on the sea, having a great time. We get in the Gulf Stream, and I follow these sailors. I said, hey, don't y'all have a motivational call? Don't y'all anchors away, something like that?
No, man, we don't do that.
I says, come on now. I know you. I saw you guys manning the rail. As soon as we hit the wide open oceans, your motivational call is Earl. Earl, 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 Earl. All right. Sorry, brother. But here we are now. I'm in flight training, miserable. A sailor invites me to his church. It was a church just like your church. This preacher got up and preached like I haven't heard since the day he got saved. He said, turn to the book, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. God is light. In him is no darkness. And he said this, either you're walking in the light or you're walking in the dark, because there's no gray area with God. So where are you tonight in your walk with God? Are you in the light or are you in the dark? Either serving God or serving self. So through that church, I became and surrendered to be a missionary to my Marine Corps. And I got excited about that. And then God issued me a wife. He really did. And I'm down there. She was a school teacher. We met. Pastor, I grinned so hard that day that my cheeks hurt for 3 weeks. This should be the second greatest day of your life, the day God gives you your mate. I'm telling you. It gets sweeter every day. And then he allowed me to fly this Cobra attack helicopter. They actually paid me to do that. So it was, but this is the way I made a living. God called me into the Marine Corps to be a missionary. He tomorrow morning, whatever you do, wherever you go, you're to be salt and light. That's it. Our mission in life is to be salt and light. So I'm out there on this ship again, the USS Spartanburg County. I spent a lot of time on ships. And the chaplain came on for the 10 o'clock prayer over the 1MC speaker system. This chaplain said such a dead prayer, all I could think is, he needs to get saved. So I go to the XO of the ship, says, XO, I'm the Baptist lay leader for my squadron. Can I start a Bible study? Yes, Ryberg, you can start a Bible study. So we started a Bible study, and I found this on a ship, Brother Stone. A night watch will talk to anybody. So I'd go up to these night watches. Hey, where are you from? Where do you go to church? Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? If this ship was a sink right now, where would your soul be? So it was, I mean, Joe got saved, Pat Thompson got saved, Carl got saved. I'm out there, I'm loving life, having a great time, holding this Bible study. I'm ready to get out and go to Bible school. So I pray, Lord, where will thou have me go? Have you ever prayed and God was silent? What do you do when you pray and God is silent? Most people quit. How long do you pray? How long do you pray before you quit? I'm praying for God to get out. He's silent. So what do we do? This is what we do. We continue to walk the path of obedience. Young people come up to me all the time. Brother Reinberg, how can I find God's will for my life? First thing I ask him, well, are you walking the path of obedience today? Because God wants us to walk a path of obedience. And if we're walking the path of obedience, in God's timing, key words, in God's timing, he will open a door so wide you cannot help but go through it. And then he will prepare the wherewithal for you to do what he's called you to do. Little did I know, I was going to be praying for 22 years. For God to open the door for me to do what I'm doing today. You hear about the pastor walking in his office, pacing back and forth, and the deacon walks in. Says, Pastor, what's wrong? The pastor said, I'm in a hurry and God's not. That seems our life today, isn't it? We shouldn't get ahead of God, but God said, okay, Reinberg, you just stay in, walk the path of obedience. Stay in the book, stay on your knees, serve others, out there again, on a ship, giving Bible studies, seeing folks saved. My wife and I worked out of 11 fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches. God taught me so much. Everything from cleaning the bathrooms again, being a friend of the pastor, preaching, praying, teaching junior church, top time, you name it. We had a blast, and God was preparing us. Then God called me from the cockpit to be a 3-star aide-de-camp for this general that owned all the Marines from the Mississippi River to the Persian Gulf. this guy, I told you his face would stop freight train. He's tough. This guy, General Ernie Cook, I stood by his side, and I guarantee you, I know what it is to be a bond slave. I was his bond slave. Stood by his side, kept his time, and God was showing me what it was to serve. And then God sent me to purgatory. Yeah, look, the smile is gone. I'm telling you, this was a tough place. I was working for the former administration. I mean, it was hard. The military is in the life of the commander-in-chief. We're in his hands. He can write a presidential decision directing, and our life is changed overnight. But it was here. God had moved me into the Pentagon. My three-star promoted me to full-bird colonel. It was like a church service. He loved my faith. I would go in and quote scripture to him on what Clinton is doing wrong. Oh, I shouldn't have said his name. All right. But he loved that. He was a hardcore devout Catholic. He loved my faith. But God reached down from heaven. I was being groomed to be general officer. They were going to give me a fellowship to the Council of Foreign Relations, a heathen outfit, think tank up in New York City. And I was being prepared for 06 Aviation Command. But it was right then and there, God reached down from heaven and said, "Get out. Now, Lord, God will speak to you unexpectedly. And while God is testing you, Satan is over here tempting you. Guaranteed. Guaranteed." So here I am now. I said, "Lord, I'll go." Went home that night, told my wife I'm getting out. She said, "It's about time." And God sent this Marine to an Air Force base. Wow. My dear pastor, Pastor Scott Baker and his wife Jan, took Kathy and I under their wing. We've been there 8 wonderful years. By the way, a Marine on an Air Force base is an amazing thing. You know what? I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. The Air Force guys work 8 to 5 and get weekends off. And they get paid the same. So this was great. So Pastor and Mrs. Baker took us under their wing. My wife and I were commissioned missionaries to the military, ordained into full-time ministry. And Pastor and I founded Worldwide Military Baptist Missions. We want to see those in uniform. Kathy and I ran a military service center for Christ at Scott Air Force Base. Muslim name. Look at this. Gets gloriously saved. One a month got saved, baptized, and discipled. There's our mission field. Look at that. I mean, it is just our society. Our military is made up of our society from all places and all things. So they have this burden on their back. That's a soldier on patrol in Afghanistan. You know what's something now in a time of war? They're praying and they're listening. It's a ripe mission field. They're listening. And they have a burden. They're asking the greatest questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? What happens when I die? Because they're seeing death up front and real in the war zone now. People are dying. So what do? We want to help plant churches near bases anywhere in the world, like Bill Lyon's family. And then there's the Julian family here at Freedom Baptist Church. He retired after 22 years in the Army, planted a church. We helped him from the Articles of Incorporation through CLA Constitution all the way through to get him through there. And wonderful, they chartered their church last year. Helping with military service centers for Christ. If there's a good church like your church in Air Base, I go in there. I was in Altus, Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. And they're going to start a Bible study on the base. They're going to start a military service center, this one at Fort Leonard Wood. Any of you Army guys go through Fort Leonard Wood? Did you ever hear the free day away? This church goes to the base on 10 buses and picks up 350 Army recruits in their 5th week of boot camp. Brings them to church. $1,500 a month. We put one of those New Testaments in everybody's pocket before they leave here. A 17-year-old Streeter, Michael Streeter, gets saved reading his Bible. I put an introduction in there. But it's at this church where they get scores of decisions of salvation. Scott and Rachel Dutton, we're helping support them. He's a full-time electrician. He drives 72 miles at Camp Pendleton, California, around the 10 different camps of that base, picks up Marines, sees them get gloriously saved. He loves them. He leads them. He feeds them. They'll come back. Amen. They'll come back. So we help establish these military service centers for Christ. And here's one of my favorite. We have 150 men right now in the military that want to be a missionary to their unit, their ship, their base. We provide them with all the tracts, all the Bibles, all the New Testaments, all the discipleship kits they need to start a Bible study or a church the day they're deployed. And it's a great thing to minister. First Sergeant Sam Lewis, United States Marine Corps, gets over to Iraq, and he sees these five get saved during his three-month period there, holds a Bible study every week. We have the God Squad, Shane Irwin, right there in Al Asad Air Base. He goes on visitation on this base on Saturdays. And he brings them in on Sunday morning. He's getting married on the 31st. Praise God. Back. And this is Lieutenant Colonel, Brigade XO, Chris McCurry, over there right now. He saw four soldiers saving his first preaching service. In a war zone, you can preach. Nobody ever criticized me for proselyzing. My boss just wanted me to be a good pilot, be a good Marine, and do the best I can. And I did. I found out where God calls us, He provides the wherewithal for us to do His will. So it is a great thing working in the war zone. Marshall Riggle found one of our God Bless America tracks somewhere on Groton Naval Base. He calls our phone number, says he's going to the USS Enterprise. So we sent thousands of tracks to a ship. We're still getting website hits for tracks. from that ship. He saw six saved his first month on that ship. And it's a great mission field. Dustin Bingham. Coast Guard Cutters, this is one of the four largest in the Coast Guard. They don't have chaplains. He said, Brother Ryberg, I want to be the chaplain of that ship. Can you help? Yeah, I wrote the district chaplain who commands these cutters. And I said, hey, we got a qualified man. We made him an associate missionary. And we'd like for him to be the chaplain of that ship. He's now the chaplain of that ship. He holds Sunday morning services and Wednesday night services, and he's seen them get saved and discipled. So this is what we do. These are the evangelization and discipleship packages. These are the staple tracts. They're out there on the table. Grab some when you leave tonight. This is that New Testament that the God fit to your cami pocket. But how about this one? Arabic English New Testament. Our guides are working with the Iraqi military every day. And they notice Christians are different. By the way, we ought to be.
That's right.
They say, you're different. And they say, well, yeah, let me give you what I believe. And they see this Arabic New Testament in English and Arabic. And they go, wow, yeah, I'll take one of those. So we're getting the gospel in the hands of the Iraqis through the military members that are faithful witnesses over there. And we had a chaplain like Karakovich here. He was preaching and praying in Jesus' name in that war zone. The senior chaplain, who was another denomination that doesn't believe like we believe in, said he couldn't preach and pray in Jesus' name anymore. And he said, nobody can stop me because I'm a chaplain, remember? I'm a fundamental Baptist. He was a Crown College graduate. He wouldn't. So they were going to give him a summary court-martial for preaching and praying. It got to the general, and the general of the brigade said, what do you mean, court-martial a chaplain? A chaplain has to speak their conscience. There's no army policy where he cannot preach and pray in Jesus' name. And they transferred him to another brigade and gave him a whole new mission field. So praise God. That's how God works. That's how God works. This is self-portrait with a digital camera. You ever do that? Tony is the Baghdad Bible man. He's passing out hundreds of these New Testaments and these Arabic, English, New Testaments in the green zone where all these senior diplomats and officials are. How about these veterans ministry? I just read today from the Veterans Administration, I thought it was 1,000 a day, 1,800 veterans are dying a day. And we have these, I have a heart for these men who served our country in World War II and Korea and Vietnam. And John and Bonnie Tantanella, wonderful couple, surrender their life to go in. They'll come in and have a singspiration in a veteran's home or hospital. All these 80-year-olds, they know this hymn book better than we do. And they'll sing it. He personally led three 80-plus-year-old veterans to the Lord this past month. And we provide them with all the large print Bibles. But that's our ministry. That's what we do, and we love what we do. So now, what in the world's going on here? It's a good question, isn't it? You ever read the paper or listen to the news, and you ask yourself, what in the world's going on? Well, I think God is moving militarily, politically, economically, and spiritually. Those top three, any one could cause a national crisis any time in our country. Are you ready for a draft? Our president has the power to put our country in a state of national emergency just with his word. If you knew what our president knows tonight, you may not sleep very well. You wouldn't believe what's going on in this world. I wrote national security strategy for our president when I was there. And we were briefed in at the top secret level and cosmic top secret. And we're living in a dangerous world today compared to when I was there 10 years ago. So here we are now. Here's today's news. Large China quake aftershock injures 260 more, kills one, and the Secretary General goes to Burma. They're still turning away help on people dying in this world of ours. NASA is going to look on Mars for life. That's their whole purpose, is to find life on Mars. They're going to get a surprise. Oh, Abbas there? No progress in peace talks? No joke. The very next day after Israel proclaimed their sovereign nation on 14 May 1948, five Arab nations attacked them. They've been at war ever since. There will be no peace, Jesus Christ says. Bill tells Montana Hillary can win. And Carter says Clinton needs to give up. Boy, he's an authority figure, isn't he? And now I pull up to the gas tank yesterday, $4.09. Illinois is the third highest gas prices in the nation, but oil hit $130 a barrel. When's it going to stop? How much will you pay for a gallon of gas? Whatever the price will bear. We're captive to big oil companies, folks. By the way, our lifestyle will stop if we don't get gas. So we'll pay the price. They said it's going to go to 200 by the end of the year. Anybody knows who controls the price of a barrel of oil? You ever think about that? Who's controlling this? Speculators. Making money off you and me off the stock market. Well, that's another whole sermon. But here we are, 9/11. This is where the wake-up call, but I say the wake-up call was before here. People think this is the day where terrorism began in the United States. This is where God moved in our own country. But 25 years ago, when I was patrolling the streets of Beirut, Lebanon, as a young captain with my M16 on full automatic, going across corners, only knowing that a terrorist was there. Wasn't active yet, but Yasser Arafat, whose headquarters were in Beirut, Lebanon, trained terrorists, and one lone terrorist that he trained on a Sunday morning on the 23rd of October, 25 years ago, pulled into that barracks and blew up 241 Marines and sailors. So terrorism started 25 years ago. President Reagan outlawed the PLO in 1984. And now we want to make them a nation state? My! So what in the world is going on? Well, we're in harm's way right now. It's a shoot and fighting war. We're in 165 nations, folks, out of 224. That's a lot of places. And we're shooting, we're fighting. Do you believe this statement? The world now is more dangerous than it's ever been in the history of mankind. We'll see why. In 2 Timothy 3:1, it talks about the perilous times. I believe the last days moved into the perilous times. Because we have the bad guys out there now that want to nuke us. And in 2 Timothy 3, if you look at verses 2 through 5, which we don't have time, But those verses give the biographical sketch of all three of our presidential candidates. Boastful, covetous, lovers of themselves, inordinate affection. All these things that are going on now is phenomenal. The jihadists have vowed to kill all Americans and Jews. Why pick on us? Why Americans and Jews? Because our God is the God of Israel. We found out this morning our country was founded on the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh. And if Americans and Jews believe in the God of Israel, and we do not believe Allah is God and Muhammad His prophet, we are infidels and we are to be killed. So they're particularly very concerned about Americans and Jews being killed. Notice they're jihadists, not insurgents. They're bloodthirsty, jihadists, Islamic terrorist killers. That's what they are. The Jew, restored, regathered in 1948. For 2,534 years, Israel has been scattered into all nations of the world. They have yet to be under sovereign control of their own nation state called Israel. In 1948, they became a nation state. In 1967, they captured Jerusalem. 40 years ago, Jerusalem became the sovereign control of the nation state of Israel. I think that's a very key prophecy. And I think they're still spiritually blinded, but even though they're regathering and they're restored, according to the Bible and Revelation, during the tribulation period, they will be plundered because of their unbelief. Plundered to the point they're going to run out in the mountains and cry out for the rocks to fall on them. Then they'll be nationally restored and saved as a nation. But the second revelation of Jesus Christ is the greatest theme of all Bible prophecy. And as we sung the battle hymn of the Republic, we sung about our commander-in-chief coming back. Think about the propheticness of that song. It's all about Him. It's not about us winning a war. It's about Him coming back. And that's what we have to remember. Jerusalem used that word, the city of David, the city of Zion, Jerusalem used 1,000 times in our Bible. It is the centerpiece of all prophecy. And it's under sovereign control of the Jew. To the Christian, it's the cross. To the Muslim, it's the Dome of the Rock. To the Jew, it's a rebuilt temple. Do you see the significance of that city? I'm watching that city like a hawk. I'm watching Israel.
That's right.
Where does Jesus Christ come back? It's all prepared. God is moving, I think, faster than we think. Looking down from Mount Carmel, that is the Valley of Megiddo. 200 to 400 million soldiers of all nations, to include the United States, will come through that valley. Jesus Christ will come back riding a white horse, the sword of the Lord in his mouth, sword of the Lord, the word of God in his mouth, and just with the word spoken, he will slay all armies of the world right there. Napoleon, when he fought in that valley, looked out and said, all armies of all nations of the world could maneuver here. What a prophetic statement. Well, here we are in the United States. Let's come back home. We're in trouble. Now, I'm not Chicken Little saying that the sky is falling, all right? But I'm going to give you the true state of the nation. Do you mind? We've got three things right now that are killing us. Radical Islamic jihadists. We have evil nations that possess nukes and what? Do you really think it's about oil? Politicians with ungodly ideologies. That's the one that hurts my heart most. But any one of these could trigger a national crisis in our country. Radical jihadists, terrorists killing people. Allah has spoken. Osama bin Laden says we love death and we're giving them what they want. We're giving them what they want. General Petraeus, he's a genius. He is now the commander of the Central Command, which is controlling the entire Middle East. who may be planning a strike on evil nations that aren't with us, that are possessing or soon to possess nuclear weapons. He's testifying to Congress the security gains are why? And long-term success hinges on the Iraqi settling their what? You put a Shiite, you put a Sunni, you put a Baptist, you put a Kurd, you put somebody else, all the chickens and dogs and cats in there. Do you think they'll ever settle their political differences? Have they ever settled them since Muhammad left? So what is he saying? This global war on terrorism is militarily unwinnable. And our politicians know that. That's why no candidate is telling us how to win it. When we are fighting a stateless caliphate, when we are fighting an evil ideology, and you have the Brotherhood teamed up, Al-Qaeda, we have Syria, we have the Hezbollah in Lebanon, we have the Taliban in Afghanistan, we got the PLO, and now we have the Hamas under a democratic election. The majority voted in terrorists. So the terrorist under a democracy wins an election, and now they own the Gaza Strip, a part of the Holy Land, because of democracy. So democracy isn't the answer, is it? Isn't that something? So here we have the Brotherhood, and we have to remember this war isn't against the Arab people. 50 million Arabs have been freed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not against them, but it's against evil men that want to shed innocent blood. I get it all the time. Brother Ryberg, Jesus Christ said to love our enemies. Yes, He did. So how do we love our enemy? We pray for God to move on their heart and save their soul. If Osama bin Laden isn't on your prayer list, he should be. So we can biblically pray for our enemies and love our enemies by loving their soul. That's how we do it. But biblically, at the same time we're praying for him to be gloriously saved, can you imagine him coming out of his cave in Pakistan and saying, I believe in the God of Israel. Stop this war. If God could save wicked King Manasseh, who for 55 years, the Bible says, shed blood from one end of Jerusalem to the other, the most evil, wicked king that ever lived, if God can save his soul, I think through our prayers, He could save Osama bin Laden. Maybe there's a reason he's not dead yet. So here we are. We don't love their soul, but biblically at the same time, the Bible says, whoso sheddeth innocent blood by man, his blood shall be shed. So it's an imprecatory prayer, sort of like David did. Lord, save their soul. If you don't, smite them. And that's where we are in our nation today with evil men who are shedding innocent blood. When you look at this just war on terrorism, you will see it's an act of love for God to use a military to destroy evil nations and evil men so they can kill no more. That's what God does. That's how God moves. You have to be saved, I think, to understand that. Well, we're fighting evil from without, but how about right here in our own nation? Never did I think I would be living 2 miles from a mosque, people in the mosque inviting my city residents to come in and learn about Islam. Anybody remember or have you seen the face of this man right here? He was an American who was a Muslim who had a base pass to McGuire Air Force Base and to Fort Dix. And he could get on those two bases anytime he wanted to. And he was plotting the command center, the runway, and the barracks for death to the soldiers and the airmen on those bases before they were caught. Anybody remember how he got on those bases? An American turned Muslim, getting on that base anytime he wanted to. He delivered pizza. When you apply for a base pass to deliver pizza, it's discriminatory to ask where you go to church and what religious faith you are. So who's delivering your pizza? If this guy can get on our bases, and if you're an American with a clean record, you can. I'm proving a point, and here's the point. Our own freedoms now are killing us. Because when we have a freedom of religion that is turned into mosque being built, 2,300 of them in our country, to plan death to America, our own freedoms are now killing us. Who would think this would happen in our country? You get the point. That's key. That's enemy number one. Enemy number two, evil nations. Possessing what? How about oil? The United States of America uses 25% of the entire global oil supply every day. Every day. Two-thirds is imported. What would happen if only 10% didn't get to where it was going in the United States? It would cause a national crisis. Space weapons. We don't talk about those much. What do you do when the world's most dangerous people possess now the world's most dangerous weapon? So you're the president of the United States now. You're going to make a decision. If evil men get nuclear weapons, what will you do? If you were the president and you were told this very moment that a nuclear device has gone off somewhere in the world, what would you do? Who in the world would want to be president now? Because that is the question that will be asked, and it's only a matter of time. Do you believe that? It's only a matter of time. The jihadists want us dead by the millions. They say the next one here in the U.S. will be the big one. Plotted 10 different cities on the coastlines of America, all to be detonated within an hour of each other. Our nation just did one of the largest national global responses to nuclear, chemical, biological weapons ever before in the history of our nation. It's called Top Off 4, where they detonated nukes in Guam and Oregon and New Mexico and Arizona. So the jihadist one is dead. They're going to use nuclear weapons. Acquiring chemical nuclear weapons is a religious duty. Right there in St. Louis, they built a new stadium. It'll hold about 49,000 max capacity, I think. So if you took anthrax, put it in a simple crop duster, and flew over that crowd of 49,000 within 5 minutes, they'd be dead. That's how dangerous they are. So that's their religious duty. Is this nuclear threat real? A lot of people ask me that. I said, just look at your own government records here. Look at what's going on. $50 billion to our homeland defense budget. The number one job, public domain, the number one job of the FBI, the CIA, and homeland defense is intercepting dangerous people. Let me interpret that. Keeping sleeper cell jihadist terrorists out of our country. I don't care about a fence with Mexico. I do care about the Canadian border where scores of jihadist terrorists are coming in every day. There are 400 private jets that fly in and out of our country into private airports every day. And they're unchecked, unscanned. And even on his national website, he says the number two mission is intercepting what? So is it real? Yes, it's very real. They've been preparing for this attack, and it will happen sooner or later if God wills it. How about North Korea? Yeah, they took their bomb, they tested it, it exploded, we confirmed it was a nuclear weapon. President Bush said, we're going to blockade Pyongyang Harbor. The United Nations said no, so we didn't. So now we are tracking cargo ships, and we have this ability. It's unreal. We can track cargo ships that are emitting radiological activity. Isn't that neat? And it's even said, Brother Stone, that our U.S. Navy, bless God, has sunk two of these. Who would ever report missing nuclear weapons? So really, if you really knew what was going on, but it's clear that they're dangerous. I believe this man is totally possessed. You cannot publicly state that you're going to nuke God's people off the map. First of all, God won't let them, okay? And he calls himself Ahmadinejad, the 12th Iman that's ushering back their Messiah as we await ours. Is that a coincidence? Israel will fight till the Lord Jesus Christ returns. How many of you remember last September using our sweet F-16Is that we sold Israel? We gave them the weaponry. We provided the air refueling. We provided the airspace. We provided the jamming of the missiles that could have shot these down. Providing all that, this F-16I goes in and it bombs the Syria nuclear reactor, blows it to smithereens. The commandos return with, yes, North Korean parts. And nobody really says anything. Remember when we did that to Saddam Hussein back in 81? Nobody really said anything. So next stop, Iran. What do you think this world would do? Well, let's go back. You're the president again. Olmark has been talking with you. Bush has been there twice in the past 3 months. Okay, notice that? He's been over here twice last year. They've been practicing the missions over the Mediterranean. So there's a date probably set to go in and get Iran because they're next on the checklist. They have 7 facilities strategically placed around the borders, and Iran's a big country, by the way. It's a big country. And this is a very risky, dangerous mission. But the first plants are to be operational, thanks to Russia, in mid-2008. So you're the president. Olmark knew you have set the date. This would be the date. We have preemptive strike. You as the president approved it. So the next day after this happens, what do you think world opinion would be? I think it may be sooner than later. Let's go on. This is the Pakistani crisis. The only Muslim nation possessing nuclear weapons. The terrorists are now killing their own. They killed Bhutto last December, remember? So who's in charge of Pakistan right now? The only Muslim nation that has 100 nuclear weapons. Well, is it General Musharraf or is it Mr. Musharraf? You know who I think's in control of Pakistan? The guy that lives there that has the most weight right now is Osama bin Laden. His operatives in Al-Qaeda are filtered into the Pakistani army who control the nuclear weapons. So we're over in Iran and they've focused our nukes on them. And then we over in Iraq and we focused our military there. We hit Syria. So what about Pakistan? Our country and our State Department and our president is very concerned about Pakistan right now. Because if Osama bin Laden gets filtered in and in control of those nukes, it's over for most of the world. And that is their number one goal, is acquiring nuclear weapons. How about the Dragon? China's dangerous. I've studied them for 30 years. In the Marine Corps. We've watched them for 30 years. They have missile technology. Bill Clinton sent them to blow our satellites up and will render our military helpless in an hour. 1 hour. They're targeted. They're being tracked. All they got to do is shoot them. We're very fragile right now. We're watching them use lasers to blind our own spy satellites. to prevent us from spying on their nuclear capabilities, which is a pretty big one, by the way. So the dragon isn't dead yet, and they're dangerous. And this man, when I saw Putin's picture on Time magazine in December as I was walking past the magazine rack in the airport, I looked at that and I said to myself, wow, if I ever wanted to draw an Antichrist, that would be the look. Even Time magazine demonized him by putting some horns on his head. And but he's a dangerous man. He's a dangerous man. Look at this, what I call the Russian-Persian alliance. Look at these buddies walk out of their meeting 5 months ago, walked out from a meeting making this pact. I think they'd be a great beast and false prophet because all the Muslims have to worship the beast. And they've got to be buddies. Not saying that they are. I'm not saying that, but they'd be a great pair. He is in right now. His whole goal is world empire. And they're getting rich off their oil and natural gas in the Siberia. We should be getting rich off oil from the Anwar Tundra in Alaska. Who's ever seen it? Down in Texas, just like right here, on the way up to your church from Belleville, I see oil pumping out of the ground and beautiful corn planted. We should have been tapped into that 20 years ago, but here we are. We've got a beast and a false prophet, and who knows what's going to happen. Let's throw in Hugo, Mr. Sitko, who comes in and calls our president the devil and Diablo gets away with it. He's going to stand by Iran. He will use oil as a geopolitical weapon. If the cronies... He could stop our oil right now and throw us in a national crisis. That's the power he has with 12% of our oil coming from Venezuela. As soon as Putin made the alliance with Iran, he gets on a plane, goes talks to Putin, then he goes down and talks to Ahmadinejad, and they're all in it together. I believe the United States is going to be choked, and our oil will be stopped, and it will cause us to come to our knees. Why? Because our economy runs on the price of a barrel of oil, folks. Our economy depends on oil. So what happens if they team up and stop our oil supply? Well, enemy number three, our own politicians. And this one breaks my heart. We're no longer a Judeo-Christian nation, are we? We do not have values, virtues, and ethics that honor the God of our Bible. I don't know how long it's been since you walked through a public school. But it's tough. They're teaching everything but godliness. You know, I can go in with the Quran and teach that, but I can't teach the Bible. I can teach the Quran because it's culture. But the Word of God is not welcome. And then we in our culture today, our society, every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. Is that a true statement? A homosexual right now today has more rights than I do as a Christian. They're protected. They're protected. So now we have, like Israel in the times of old, our own nation is intoxicated with our national sins. National sins. And it's on both sides of the aisle. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not an independent. I'm a Biblicist, bless God. That person's got to line himself up with the Word of God. What do you do when you don't have anybody like that? Big government secure? Did you just wait till Hillary Obama come in with this health plan that's going to kill us? You know how much tax money they're going to get to do that? Talk about getting a doctor's appointment. You ask anybody in a socialized nation of socialized medicine, you let them tell you what it's like to get a doctor's appointment. How about funding 50 million abortions? How about stem cell research down there in St. Louis where they're growing body parts to sell on the open market? Is that an abomination? How about cloning? You're eating cloned meat approved by the FDA, and you don't even know it. Y'all know what cloning is? We're cloning humans. We're cloning humans undercover. You take an egg and you pull out half of the genes. We can do this now because we broke the gene code, the genetic code. Okay, we mapped it out. You can take two eggs, pull out half of the DNA, chromosomes, genes, and take an identical set from another egg and put them in, and you zap it with electricity to make it grow. Is that Frankensteinish or what? So when we, as a nation, have approved funding to take life and to make life in a horrible, Frankensteinish way, what do you think God is thinking right now? And folks, you and I probably don't know much about this, but I do know that this is big business. And all these companies are on the stock market. And it's all now about greed, avarice, covetousness. It's all about money. And it's going to kill our nation. When a homosexual has more rights than I do, same-sex marriages, why do we even have to vote on it? When we have all these politicians that are corrupt and incompetent, we have activist court appointments, they make law, they don't interpret it anymore, and then this hate crimes bill is going to come along, and I'm going to go to jail because I preach and pray in Jesus' name because my religion offends them, so I get thrown in jail, so what do? Start a jail ministry. Bless God. That's why God put us there. There's plenty. The number one religion of our prison systems is Islam. There's more converts now to Islam than any other religion in our prison system. When our standing senior senator and congressperson, can't call her a woman, shame on me, when they're standing up in the top power and they're saying, pull our troops out and give up this war, what happens if we would start pulling them out today? Do you know what would happen? Iran would be in there in a heartbeat. Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda would take over. The Shiites would take over. And they would have a monopoly now on oil in the entire Middle East because Saudi Arabia is just watching to see who's going to win this thing. And they're going to go with the Muslims. And they would cut us off in a heartbeat. Oh, if we only knew the tough spot we're in. But they want to give a surrender provision to Osama bin Laden. Guess who Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, is voting for? Obama. Isn't that something? They are making calls, by the way, from the Middle East nations back to the United States to tell people to vote for Obama. They don't know where the calls are coming from. But they're soliciting calls, and only in America. Hey, the lowest approval rating in history of our Congress. Drop right down to 18%. President Bush is twice as high as our own Congress. So what do they have to talk about? When we have the standing person in Congress who negotiates and who gives a sitting presence to a president who's killing our troops, she should be tried for treason and thrown in jail. And if this is World War II, she'd be there. So this is what's going on and it's killing our nation. We have two Muslims elected to Congress, Keith Ellison and Carson. Both of them said that they would not swear in on the Bible, they swore in on the Quran, and that they would not put our Constitution above the Quran. They said that, and they're in office. And did you know our United States ambassador to the United Nations, that he, the outfit, is a Muslim? Our ambassador is a Muslim. So what in the world is going on? And then we have the dream team. My. So who's it going to be? Only God knows. You know how much money the news is making off this couple right here? They can't wait till you get home and cut on that dial. I can't stand it. How about old Bill? You think Bill's done yet? Oh, Hillary said he's going to be the ambassador to the world. Sounds like a good antichrist to me. And I think Obama would allow him to do that. You see, Bill's not, he would be elected president, by the way, if he could run for a third term. That's a known fact. And he teamed up with Bush Sr., Trilateral Commission, One World Order right there, Global Clinton Initiative right now, bringing the world economy, social values, and religions together. That's both of their goals. It's been around for a long time. So we're getting riper every day. We have a one world everything, it seems. So we're going to get change. I guess we are. And if we get change, if it's God's will, if they're unstoppable, God could use him perfectly in His plan for the ages to destroy our nation. Because remember, we're one of the nations that are in the Valley of Megiddo fighting against our Lord. And there's only two candidates that I know of that would turn their back on Israel and that would bring our nation to its knees. So maybe God is in this and we just don't know it. So who do we vote for? Do we have a conservative? Is he a compromiser? Do we vote for the lesser of two evils? Or do we look for a write-in candidate that's running? Like Pastor Angel. We ought to start a campaign. Praise God. But Pastor, I don't think God's called you to be president. However, I think your wife would be a great first lady. That's right. Do you know we're a nation interdependent? We call this now the global economy. We have a One World Bank. Notice in China, the Dow drops 10%. What does our Dow do? It reciprocates and drops 10%. Why is that? Because everything you buy in Walmart's made in China. How about that? We are interlocked in, and the whole world in this global market recession, this global market economy, it's all here. And then let's throw in the old Pope, okay? The Pope had his 81st birthday in our White House. Doesn't he look evil? The infallible Pope, listen carefully, the infallible Pope made a comment about Muslims about a year and a half ago. The Muslims came to him greatly offended and said, "We're going to start killing your priests and your nuns in South America, Pope, if you do not recant." So the infallible Pope calls a meeting of all the world religious leaders, and guess what? They showed up. The Pope has the power to call all the religious leaders of the world, and they showed up of every denomination. Those World Council of Churches, they're all there with the Pope in charge, leading the way, and he makes this statement at that meeting in Istanbul, Turkey. We all serve the same God. Wow. I think he'd be a great leader. I look at this. He's got his eyes on a world church. He's dangerous. But every national leader stops by the Vatican to get the Pope's blessings. I still can't figure that out. And this is 2 years ago, and he invited the Pope to America, and that's why he was here and spent his 81st birthday in the White House. Some things I just can't figure out. So when things don't make sense, what in the world do we do? Well, according to the Bible, let's get biblical, we look up. I think the time is at hand. The time is short. We're to fret not, folks. We're watching all this stuff. And the media wants to do nothing but give us their propaganda. They're selling propaganda, by the way. So don't believe what you hear. We used to feed in the Pentagon, we used to feed them propaganda so that they would misinform the public on what we're doing. And they would gladly do it. Fret not. God is in control. You see, God's hand is in every one of these issues. His hand is in the global war on terrorism. His hand is in all the politics of the world. His hand is in the global economy. We've got to look beyond ourselves, beyond our president. We've got to look beyond these evil men. We've got to look at God. And when these things begin to come to pass, we look up, lift up our head, because our redemption draws nigh. It's here. God is in control. He's coming. He has a plan. He's at work. It will come to pass. His purposes will always prevail over the evil of mankind. He's unstoppable. God moves in the hearts of the king. I love this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He can turn it whithersoever He will. He can, through our prayers, reach down and grab Osama bin Laden's heart and turn it just like that. And He can get saved. He can reach down to Achmahenijah just like He did Herod and eat him with worms. God is God. We need to let God be God. And we've got to understand that He's in charge of all these leaders of the world. And I believe that nuclear weapons will be used in the tribulation. Why do you think in 2 Peter it says that our earth has to be renovated by fire? It will be devastated. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and then He drew the heart of the king of Assyria towards Israel. He can do either one He wants to. But here it is now. Our nation, here's the point. Our nation is helplessly dependent upon God, and they don't know it. I thank God for our president to give a proclamation of prayer and a day of prayer set aside at 11 o'clock tomorrow to pray for permanent peace. Now that struck me, folks, and I hope it struck you too. I'm hoping there's a glimmer in his heart, if he is a saved man, to understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And that Israel, thank God, he's befriended, but he's wrong on the Palestinian state. He's wrong on the global bureaucracy. We need to pray for our president like we've never prayed before in our life. And we need to encourage him because he has some very key decisions facing him in these next few months. He publicly stated he would not get out of office with Iran, a nuclear power. And if he's true to his word, and if they become operational this summer, fireworks are going to happen. And we may not even get to a general election. We could be in full-scale nuclear war. I think the time is short. We need to look. Folks, tomorrow morning when we get up, or tonight before you go to bed, I want to challenge your heart right now. Our life is simply to be servants. Our goal in life is to be salt and light. And I believe our church is asleep because you and I really do not live by faith in this country. How can you live by faith when you have everything? Everything you want or need. How do you live? The hardest and the most difficult challenge of our Christianity is to live by faith. And we don't know how to do that in this country. Because if you don't have it, and you need it or you want it, you go to Walmart and buy it. That's the fact. So God may just drive our country to its knees so we can be Christians. Faithful. And I think the test is coming. I think the test for Christians will be here. Will you pass the test? Let's give a tribute to our troops as we close tonight. I thank God for our troops. I thank God that He's raised up a generation of young people that believe there's a cause higher than themselves. This is my good old Army buddies, the HUA kind of guys. I like HUA. Where's the HUA guys? Where's the Army guys? HUA? Yeah. They go, I like that better, but I like my Army brother. There they are, ministers of righteousness, reigning terror on evil, folks. They're out there doing God's will, God's way for His glory through war. And that's fully understandable as we learn this morning in the Bible. Ever! They get paid extra for that. Isn't that neat? I went through jump school in 81. I'm one of them. Amen. I'm not a leg. I got my wings. Hey, reconnaissance. Swift, silent, deadly. Out there operating in all these different countries, 30,000 special operations troops doing great stuff. Oh, yeah. Brother Reinberg, how did we catch Saddam Hussein? Why can we not get Osama bin Laden? So I went back to the Pentagon and asked my buddies, hey, how did we get Saddam Hussein? Can't tell you, man. It's top secret. I said, give me a break. I worked there. He's caught. He's done. He's dead. Tell me. All right. I said, so they sent me this top secret weapon. This is how we got him, right there. We're using a lot of animals now to do neat stuff over there. But the guy that catched Saddam Hussein, one of the guys on the committee, was from West Virginia. Okay? So he went back, caught five of the best ground squirrels he could find, gave him a little light armor there, gave him a little weapon. And, beware Obama. No, beware Osama. I keep getting those mixed up. But this is how you fight a war in Afghanistan. This is how you go after the Taliban. This is the first time, Pastor, I ever saw dirt on an Air Force guy. Special ops troop. I mean, how many of you were in the Air Force? Praise God, brother. Everybody's all right if you're in the Air Force unless you were a pilot. I call them the pretty boys in blue. They got their scarf and went out to their plane. I shouldn't get on them like that. Shooting the big guns. Look at that. Oh, I tell you what, that artery, they're hitting the hideouts. They're doing it. They're getting the targets. But it's not all about shooting. They're civil action. All these great things are going on over there. They got a life. And the Arabs and all those people, they're given hope. They have church services. The gospel's getting out. We got missionaries going to all these stands. Pray for those in the air. They're coming off an F-18 off that aircraft carrier. That pilot needs the Lord. Praise God. Look at this. Beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. How much does it take just in water every day to keep 255,000 people in a desert? Water to drink, much less to wash clothes or to feed them. Have you ever seen 255,000 people together? How about just 10,000? You ever march 10,000 people around and try to feed them three meals a day, much less find places to go to the bathroom or stuff like that? That's pretty tough. How about just 1,000? It's pretty tough. Few people can understand the logistics of doing it. That stealth fighter, $233 million. It'll come in, hit 8 targets with 8 separate bombs, destroy all 8 targets, and fly away, and nobody ever knew it. Phenomenal. This is something. Pray for this crew chief. Got that B-1 bomber back there. Oh, where's Osama bin Laden? I tell you, this is it. He's out there doing a little cave hopping, all right? And, who said the Air Force wasn't in this fight? Look at that. Praise God for the boys in blue, all right? Yeah, that's all right. Pray for those maintaining the machines. This is our mission field. Oh, yeah. Why is a dog a man's best friend? They don't talk back. They believe everything you say. Some say they wag their tail and not their tongue. I'm not sure. Pray for those on the sea. That's a formation on an aircraft carrier. But I look at that as a sea of souls. They need the Lord. And I thank God for them. 5,500 sailors on that ship. The average age is 24 years old. I can't get over that. Running one of the most powerful military weapons in the world, an aircraft carrier. How about this submarine right here? 24 nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles are on this submarine. We have these submarines silently slipping through all 7 seas around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With the beckoning approval of the President of the United States, these missiles could be launched within 3 hours. And along with the live missiles in the silos in certain places around the world, we could destroy scores of nations within hours. I truly believe. I believe it's coming. Because when they use nuclear weapons, how do you retaliate? Do you go visit them and say, don't do that anymore? We have preemptive strike, remember, to get them before they get us. And I believe, once again, that nuclear weapons will be used. God has used military forces to do His will for 6,000 years of mankind's civilized life. Why would God not use military forces during the tribulation period before the true commander-in-chief comes back to finish it off? I believe God has prepared and will use our military forces in the final days of the tribulation. 1.6 billion people will be dead the first 2.5 years. 1.6 billion people will be dead. That is a lot of people. Can we imagine death like that? Thank God. Air, land, or sea in combat. They need the Lord. There it is. Most service members make it back and they reunite with their families, but some don't. Some have given the ultimate sacrifice. And on this Memorial Day, we have to remember there's a price to pay. The ultimate sacrifice will be given. The widow's flag will be passed again. One of the most difficult things in my life is at Arlington National Cemetery, giving a flag to that dear widow, telling her, "Ma'am, on behalf of a grateful nation, I present this flag to you for your husband's service to his country." Our goal is that they may never say that no man cared for my soul. That's why we do what we do. That's why we want to get the gospel out. We ask churches to help us print Bibles and tracts. My wife and I, we're self-supported. People ask me, how do I live by faith if I get a retirement income every month? Pretty good question, isn't it? I do it this way. I give it all away. It's very difficult to live by faith in this day and time. But the world's greatest need is not democracy.